Oh, it's been a tremendous meeting, hasn't it? God has really spoke to us, and I just am very thankful to be a part of the holiness people. And I'm amazed, really, in a lot of ways, because, you know, there's folks that talk about politics and you got to be a part of a certain family and this and that and other. But when I was just a young preacher, and Brother Barnett and Brother Bridges took me to Richlands for the first time, and one of them paid my gas, and the other paid my food, and I was privileged to be at Shady when Brother Barnett preached that parable of the blackberry picker, and privileged to be at Richlands when he preached it the second time, and tremendous, it is wonderful, really.
Excuse me, town and country going off over here.
Town and country.
Alarm going
off. Y'all listening? That's not the trumpet sound. We didn't miss it. But at any rate, Brother Barnett, Brother Bridges took me to different meetings. Brother Barnett did. And you know, Ronnie Wheeler filled me in on something. Very first time I preached for Brother Barnett, we had goat for some reason. I kind of figured out what happened there. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Barnett and Sister Barnett and Brother and Sister Bridges, Brother Joy and Sister Tricia Height. Brother Joy Height was preaching the youth camp that I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I just honor them all so highly. It's tremendous being here. Honor for me to preach this Thursday night when they did honor Brother Joy Hyde. And want to invite your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd like to read there with me. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Ralston and Brother Don Ingram, all the work they've done. And these other preachers, I will have to admit, it's amazing to me how this meeting has went. It seems as though that there's a lot of truths that's had twins. Where in the morning services where the preachers went back to back, and Brother Holcomb, he started off the Tuesday night service, and it seems like I'm the bookend here. And when he got up and started, he started his message. I said to myself, I don't know. He may trample all over my message. I don't know if I should preach this. But it seems like that most of the messages have went in twins. Amen. And so if the Lord would help me, I'd like to try to help everybody here, and maybe if I could get us to all praying about everything that we've got this week, because in all reality, all of us preachers love it when our congregations pray through about what we preach to them. And I have a feeling that God has been speaking a lot louder than we've been listening. Amen. I mean, when you have messages in the morning where the fellow reads the next guy's text before they turn it to the next guy, it is really God moving in a mighty way. And in my estimation, Brother Kevin Lloyd's message ties it all together. And his powerful message, all these messages. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd like to read, and if you want to stand for the word of God, I appreciate us honoring the word of God. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they may profit, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And I want to preach from verse 14 about neglect not the gift, but this is what I want to preach on, the revival of the Pentecostal preacher. The revival of the Pentecostal preacher. Would you stretch your hand this way? I feel my great need. Heavenly Father, I need you so desperately. Dear God, I'm needing you so desperately to help these people. We're needing a mighty outpouring of your Spirit from the front to the back. We're needing life-changing experiences tonight. And Lord, I don't have the words nor the ability to bring this place to the altar service we need to have. Only by visitation from heaven and anointing can this be done. And oh God, we need your anointing. I pray that you would work by your grace and your glory, for every one of these people need you. Their churches, their ministries, their places, their preaching revivals and missionarying, and we all need you, Lord, but our people need us to be revived. Praying for the Holy Ghost to have his way in our hearts and lives, and bless tonight in Jesus' name and for your glory, I ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul goes back into the memory of his young protege, Timothy, and brings up a past that should affect his present. And likewise, I would like to appeal to every one of you to remember that high time of glory in your own life,
yes, sir,
where that you felt the commissioning of the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit of God, and at times where that he used you in the gifts of the Spirit. A memory was needed to be refreshed in Timothy's mind. Paul brought him back to that service where he was separated for the ministry. They laid hands upon him and God moved upon someone in the gift of prophecy. We do not know exactly who spoke this word, but we realize that it was spiritual and the atmosphere was charged with the power of God. No doubt Timothy was blessed in an indescribable manner. God gave him a gift at that moment. Yet, it was possible that the fires of this enthusiastic and anointed ministry was starting to go dim. Amen. He had begun to allow this to burn lower because of the pressure he was under. Persecution had came, and that's one thing, but when you have a certain level of church strife, that's another type of pressure indeed. That is altogether a great amount of things that preachers face at times. False teachers had arisen, and the thought that maybe even some of the good people of the church did not respect him because of his age, all could cool the idea and the fervency of this young preacher in his ministry and desire to serve God in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He needed to remember that God gave him this gift, and he needed to ever keep it burning. The fire must ever be burning and never go out. Timothy must ever be burning and never, ever go out. He needed to develop the fervency that he had at one time in his life. Prayer and Bible study would stir it all up. But he sure didn't need to put this gift on the shelf and bury it in the ground and turn away from it for whatever reason. More wood needed to be on the fire and build a bigger fire. And I would like to say to every one of us, there needs to be a time where we remember back to our dreams and we remember back to the fervency of the first call. We remember the fire of the anointing that we have felt in our own soul. Paul said that he was given a gift, Now, in my estimation, this had to be something beside the gift of salvation and the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for they were laying their hands upon him, in my estimation, amen, to prove him for the ministry. Amen, a greater anointing, maybe a gift of the Spirit. But we all know that it was a powerful move of the Holy Ghost that was equipping him for his generation. And likewise, I believe that God is equipping us for our generation. And we best never neglect what God has given to us. But if we could, let there be a fervency. Let there be an increasing power. Let there be an increasing yieldedness in our own spirit and soul. Amen. Where that the power of the God that has given to us would be manifested in even a greater and a mightier manner. Amen. Paul and Timothy were of different personalities. Paul was a lot bolder than Timothy by nature. But yet, Paul went out in the power of the Spirit. And he said, I would not put on a display of great eloquence for you like some. Amen. No. Amen. I'm not going to be a peacock made of words that fans out the big things of great wisdom before you and strut around from the pulpit. But I did not come to you with excellency of speech, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. If I may say this, Paul and Timothy were of a different personality, but they were of the same gift. And the same gift can make different personalities powerful in the same manner. Amen. Yes, there are people that are Joy Heights, and there are people that are Bill Prescott's. Amen. But they are both likewise powerful under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This ministry gift needed to be stirred up. And there were memories of the past, of this man's past, that he needed to remember. But if I might go back to the past of the Pentecostal movement and bring up some voices right now, I hope you all have forgiven me for reading a few things. If you could pay attention, amen, for just a little bit. Why don't you hit your neighbor in the arm and say, wake up, it's time to go to church. Amen. Amen. Well, but Donald Gee wrote this in 1930, or actually it was published in 1930. He said, we believe the Pentecostal movement will absolutely fail in obedience to the heavenly vision God placed before it if it goes back to dependence upon purely natural gifts for the work of the ministry. Never mind how deeply people may be consecrated or how efficiently they may be educated in Bible schools or elsewhere. The holding steady before us of the vision of the supernatural gifts is of vital importance. Amen. Another old writer I like to read, Harold Horton, had this published in 1934. The Bible is a miracle zone, a supernatural domain, a continent of wonder. The Spirit-filled child of God is habituated to the supernatural atmosphere, acclimatized to the heavenly temperatures and amazements. To him, the supernatural is natural. The unexpected is awaited. The impossible is necessary. His life is below normal if he is not repeatedly astonished. The days that record no miracles are wasted days to him. His earthly walk must constantly be visited by heaven. He belies his divine origin if his knowledge and power never break through human limits. He is different, not only morally and spiritually, but also enlightenedly and dynamically and emotionally. He sees things that only God can see. He does things that only God can do. He perceives and acts by the all-seeing, all-powerful Holy Spirit of God as Jesus did. The most astonishing feature of the present state of Christendom is not that Christians should be astonished at miracles, but that they should remain unastonished at the absence of them. Miracles are heaven's normalities. They are received as such in the early church, and they will be received as such again whenever there is a vital church drenched with the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost. I say a hearty amen to that, and I believe you do as well. But there are some nominal groups among the Pentecostal groups that are starting to back away from the Pentecostal message. And I fear that there are some preachers that may even be neglecting this powerful gift. And I trust that it's not amongst us, but I remember when I was a young preacher, Brother Ralph Cox a lot of times would warn us of going to extremes. And I'd think, why warn us about that? Amen. But you know, he was right about all of that. I do want to stand here. If nobody's guilty, I most definitely want to warn us. We cannot neglect the power of Pentecost in our preaching and in our services and in our teaching. Amen. But it has been neglected sometimes. There are times where that revivals go, amen, for a long time without mentioning the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes camp meetings come and go, and there's never an emphasis nor an appeal for somebody to seek for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And some say, well, we've tried that before, and it's a little outmolded. If you're going to build a church nowadays, what you got to do is survey the sinners and find out what sinners want in a church. Let me tell you something. You need to survey heaven and find out what Jesus Christ wants in a church and be that church. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost set you on fire and see what that can do. Amen. Amen. Oh, there's some people that say it's not relevant nowadays, but I say it's just as relevant as it was in Acts chapter 2. Others have relegated it and said it's not important. Amen. No, we don't have to do it that way anymore. But I'm preaching to you, if Jesus Christ said to his disciples, amen, that had been in the best Bible school that you'd ever thought about being in, that they needed to go to the upper room before they preached their first message, I believe it's still vital and important for us today. If the early church was looking for somebody to wait on the table of widow women, and one of the first qualifications was that they were full of the Holy Ghost, not that they used to be full of the Holy Ghost, not that they were 5 years ago, but they were present, full right now of the Holy Ghost, and they started searching for them, and they actually found them. I want to tell you, it's just as relevant for us right now. We need an old-fashioned emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Oh, yes. Amen. Some have never really had the real experience. Because if they ever had the real, they'd know it's a life-changing thing. I raised 4 boys, still raising my 16-year-old. But you know what? My 3rd boy, Luke and John Mark, sometimes I got to go down the list. He was a stubborn boy. And I'll just tell you, most all of my boys, I could take you back to a time where I whipped them and I broke their will. And I'm not saying I never had to whip them after that, but I didn't have to whip them every day. Amen. John Mark was a little different on that, but at 7 years old or 6, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, when he came home, his will was submitted to authority. I'll tell you why. I don't know why adults speak in tongues and are still rebellious, but at any rate, I really think if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of that tongue, he's going to get a hold of your heart as well. But it's a real experience, folks, that's going to change your life. Amen. Some people have got the real, but they just neglected it. They didn't keep it alive in their lives. Amen. I know people have said it, and as Brother McDonald tell it's a threadbare. Amen. That's one of his sayings. But I know that we don't believe in once saved, always saved. So we should never even entertain the idea that just because we got filled with the Holy Ghost a few years ago that we're still full right now. Amen. We have neglected, many have neglected the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Don't believe that it's really as powerful as what the Bible says. I feel like that we're like a little child that somehow had an inheritance of a nuclear power plant that would power the whole continent of North America. And it looks at the little button that it could push and turn on electricity. Amen. For untold millions. And they, in the child looks at the button and sees the color of it and plays with the box instead of saying, man, I could light up this whole continent if I just got this power that I've been given. And I just push this button. That's the way it is. Amen. We love the blessing of the Holy Ghost. And it is a blessing. I don't want to diminish that. But it's power. It's power to change the world. It's power to light up this whole continent. It's power to turn the world upside down. Oh, glory to God. It's not just a pretty box. It's not just goosebumps. It's not just joy. It is all of that. But it's power. Amen. It's power to change people's lives. Oh, yes. I know the Pentecostal preacher's under pressure, just like Timothy was. There's persecution that comes at times. Amen. Back years ago, you know, I came from a church that they just celebrated their 100th anniversary a little while ago, and I'd hear some of the older folks tell about sometimes different things that happened. Buster Wilson preached there one time. And some of the boys in the area got mad and gathered up rocks and waited up on a hill while he's driving out. Amen. They threw rocks at his car. They probably scared to face him, but anyway, you know. At any rate, Brother Buster was persecuted. There were some I heard that said that they threw rotten eggs and tomatoes at them as they walked to church. But sometimes when they got to the house of God, before they went through the door, they were shouting the praises of the Lord. Amen. One old lady in our church would say when she was a little girl, her mother got baptized in the Holy Ghost, first one in Western Kentucky that they knew of at that time. Amen. She said, I remember going to the grocery store after that. And the grocer patted me on the head. I was a little girl, patted me on the head and was looking at my mother and said, I just feel so sorry for your children since you've went into this Pentecostal way. Amen. And she said, I looked up at him and I said, mister, don't you feel sorry for me. I got a mama that shouts, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I tell you, they had some persecution, but people stayed with their experience and their beliefs, amen, and blazed the trail. And I know that we have somewhat of a soft persecution. You just think about this, folks. They think Tim Tebow and the Duck Commanders are wacko, crazy people. Buddy, if that's the strongest Christianity we've got in America, that's pretty weak. I mean, if you turned it into an energy drink, it wouldn't keep you awake. Glory to God. Amen. But I want to tell you right now, there is power right here. And I believe it's power enough to turn the world upside down. I realize there's some persecution, but there's some power that can rise above the pressure of persecution, whether it's just somebody making fun or some type of physical abuse. God is able to put a power within us to stand strong in the face of this persecution.
Amen. There's also false prophets that's come along and kind of embarrassed us. They know how to raise their voice like us, and amen, they might even get a little emotional like us and speak like us. And I read a story one time about a preacher that went to Israel, and he was taking a picture of this, of the Wailing Wall, and he saw a bird coming down, and he saw this bird. He thought it was a dove, and so he took a picture. He thought it'd be neat to have a dove coming down over the Wailing Wall. And so he took it, blew it up. When he blew it up, it was a pigeon. I have to admit, that's exactly the way it is a lot of times. Looks like a dove. No, on first, a little closer examination, it's not a dove, it's a pigeon. Amen. And sometimes them pigeon preachers, and though pigeon moves of whatever spirit that is, amen, it can kind of get a little embarrassing and have people say, well, you're one of them. No, I'm not one of them. Well, do you do that? Yeah, well, we do. Yeah, we do. But we don't believe like, yeah, it's hard to explain. But listen, you can't back up just because, amen, a pigeon comes over some churches. We still have the real dove coming down here at the minister's meeting and in your various churches and revivals. Oh, glory be to God. I'm not going to settle for that old pigeon. I don't want pigeon religion. I want the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, God. Oh. Woo. Oh. 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 Oh, I know there's pressure. There's pressure because there's a pseudo intellectualism that's come along that tries to put a little bit of persuasion upon you. Amen. I have to admit, this revival of Calvinism disturbs me. Amen. All it does is appeal to the flesh of pseudo intelligence. Amen. Philosophy instead of theology. I'm sorry, I hadn't got time to, amen, I got time to rebuke it. I don't have time to refute it, though. But, amen, one problem that Americans are having is staying in church. And they did a Pew Research survey of those that had left church. And they found that 50% of those leaving church now, 49%, are saying they're leaving because they no longer believe in God. And one of the reasons they no longer believe in God is because they are too scientific, too intellectual to believe in miracles. Never saw them. They never saw them. Don't happen. Can I tell you? That is the problem with a pseudo-intellectual church that teaches that there are no miracles. I don't care how intellectual and reasoned that you may sound. Amen. There has to be a demonstration of the power of God from time to time. And I appreciate people that could give a reason for our faith and defend the faith in all kinds of intellectual manners. I appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you, this is a spiritual battle, amen, that has to be overcome with weapons that are not carnal. They have to have a power that's above and beyond this world. Oh, glory be to God. There's some, amen, in mainline denominations that had been Pentecostal pioneers that are right now questioning the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and are no longer preaching. Amen, speaking in tongues is something that really is a necessary thing. Listen, I want you to understand. Amen, that this group right here believes that not only is it something that we need in order for the church to reach its highest, amen, for its greatest glory and most effectiveness, we have to have the power of the Holy Ghost in operation in our singing, preaching, and teaching. Oh, yes. Woo! Amen. Preachers are under pressure. There's people at church that disrespect. By all accounts, they've never been taught good manners, I'm afraid. They seem to be good in other ways, but respect is not one of them. And Timothy was suffering under such good people. Amen. Sometimes we are also in the midst of a downward spiral. We all know that that's the natural tendency of churches. Amen. For the fact is, amen, this church that Timothy was pastoring was somewhere between Acts 19 and Revelation 2. Amen. The high point of the revival under Paul and the letter of the Ephesians. Amen. Was swiftly going towards Revelation 2, where they's doing all the right things, preaching all the right things, but had no fervency in their love whatsoever. And the downward spiral of this church, amen, had a pull upon this young preacher. Amen. Then I believe he was under pressure because he had a certain persistent self-doubt. I realize he wasn't Paul, but that's why he needed the gift that Paul had. He needed to rise above his own self-doubt and wonder and get in the spirit and the power of Pentecost and minister. Amen. Can I also say this? There's personal spiritual attacks upon the Pentecostal preacher. Pentecostal preachers are more open to the spirit world. Amen. We understand that we are not just warring with flesh and blood, and just the fact that you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost makes you uncannily aware that there's battles going on in the unseen world. Amen. You sense things and feel things you can't explain sometimes. And I'll tell you why it is because things trying to get in your church or into your family, and you may not be able to intellectually explain it, but you feel it because you are a Pentecostal preacher. And I'm also going to give you one other reason we battle spiritual pressures like no other preachers, because you are dangerous like no other preacher. Amen. No. Amen. The devil understands you don't have a library of dead men's thoughts in your head, and you get up and give a book report every time you preach. He understands you're a Holy Ghost blowtorch that can cut through evil, amen, and pull down the powers of hell. Amen. He understands that you're a dangerous preacher. Amen. And that's why he puts you under spiritual pressure. You can't understand. That's why sometimes your wife, amen, feels things she don't understand. Amen. But listen, don't just back up and say, I'm going to pack up my little gift and go away. Amen. Wear it as a badge of honor. Say, thank God. Amen. The devil thinks I'm dangerous enough to come against me. Whew. I also am going to tell you the preacher's under pressure, but you're a priceless preacher. Pentecostal preacher's priceless. There's no greater call than being a Pentecostal preacher. A friend of mine, and I know Daryl Miller, there's a bunch of people who know Brother Carlos Guerra from Costa Rica. And Brother Carlos is down there preaching for him. He told me, he said, the fellow that's running for president of Costa Rica came to his office and asked him, said, would you run as my vice president? The guy won. Said, would you run as my vice president, be vice president of Costa Rica? And Carlos said, at first I was so excited. I thought, wow. He said, immediately the Spirit spoke to me and said, are you going to lower your status? He said, immediately I looked at him and he said, I thank you for the opportunity, but my position is higher than vice president. You will be president for 4 years, but I am an ambassador for Christ for my whole life. I cannot come down to do this work. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't know what all else you're involved in as a preacher. I know they got to do a lot of other stuff, but don't you ever come down. Amen. I know you got to do other stuff, but don't get so busy. Amen. That you're a preacher second, third, or fourth, and this other first. Amen. That's a high calling that God placed on you. Anything else is lower. Amen. You are God's chariot. You're God's war horse. Amen. You're God's almighty army unleashed upon this world full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't take a less position. Don't neglect your talent. You remember those talents, don't you? The parable of the talents. However your interpretation, I'm not going to get into it. But the one fellow didn't think he had much when he had one. And I've read commentators that don't know what that's worth. I know they don't know because I can read one and one says it's 120 pounds of gold. And another one says it's 6,000 drachmas. Which was one day's wage was a drachma. 6,000 days wage. Amen. There's all kinds of opinions. I don't know which one's right, but I do know this. They all agreed with this. One talent was worth an amazing amount of money. One talent. And he looked at it and he said, well, I only got one. He gave him two. He gave him five. Not worth much. And so he buried it. What could you do with 120 pounds of gold? What could you do with 6,000 days' wages of work? He said, brother, I'm not much. I'm telling you what, the devil knows how much you're worth. The devil knows how much that talent's worth. That's why he's whispering to you, bury it. Amen. Just hide it. Just put it away. Don't show it to anybody. Amen. You bring it out. You'll make some interest. You bring what could be interest on that type of money, my friend? I'll tell you, if you just barely invested it, amen, you could make some money on 120 pounds of gold. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching to you, you're priceless. Amen. You Pentecostal preachers that get up with fire in your bones and you preach a message from God's word. Don't bury your talent. Amen. Get it out. Invest it somewhere, somehow. Dig it up. Do something. The Apostle Paul said he wanted to go to Rome in Romans 1 and 11 so that they might have a gift of the Spirit. He came to the Corinthians in power. He reminded the Galatians of the ministry of the Spirit while he was there in Galatians chapter 3. He asked the Ephesians if they received the Holy Ghost since they believed. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. And I ask you, does that not sound like a true, blue, 100% Pentecostal preacher to you? And that's exactly what he wanted Timothy to be. Amen. And Paul wanted this young preacher, amen, to have the Pentecostal ministry and that to continue, amen, with great power and fire. Yeah, work on your talents. But I'm going to tell you, there are some people that can sing and play and people get excited not because they prayed the anointing down, but just because they're good. There are some preachers that know how to weave a web of words that could catch anybody in his spell. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're not a bit anointed. They hadn't prayed worth anything. I'm preaching to you right now and telling you we need to pray until the fire of the Holy Ghost consumes us and we're an example to others. Joy Height was a man that moved with the Spirit. I loved to hear him preach. I could talk to you about other messages, but you know what? Sometimes the amazing thing about a camp meeting was he didn't have to preach. At Fairland, he brought an umbrella put it up. I think it's Sister Trisha's real nice umbrella. Put it up and took some scissors and started cutting up the umbrella. And the Holy Ghost fell. Brother Dwayne Bond said he took a sinner friend the next night, I think, and somebody was up there with that umbrella cutting it up, and that sinner fella couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. Amen. Ooh. But the Spirit of God moved. I remember one time I was sitting in a camp meeting next to a fellow that had just come into holiness movement, and he's listening to Brother L.D. Moore preach, and he leaned over to me and he said, "You know, I can't figure out why they look to him." I know that sounds blasphemous. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, he was new. He didn't know. Forgive him, okay? He's all right. It's okay. I understand. He leaned over to me. "I can't understand." He was preaching, so I couldn't quite explain everything right then. And after Brother Moore got done preaching, a brother got up and said, "You know, my son was dying." And I called Brother Morris before, you know, caller ID, stuff like that. Brother Moore picked up the phone and said, "God spoke to me and told me you was going to call me, and I needed to tell you your son's going to be all right." He said, "My son was healed by the power of God." That man leaned over to me and said, "That's why they look to him." Amen. Ooh. 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 I like for the big churches around say, "I can't understand why when they really want prayer, they go down to that church down there. I don't understand why when they really want things to happen, they go to that preacher down there." And all of a sudden, amen, when the power of God falls and people are healed and folks are changed, all of a sudden things begin to clear up in the community's mind. And they say, "Oh, that's the reason, amen, they have a gift. And they didn't bury it. They didn't let it go out. They stirred it up. They allowed the power of God to move them." Yes, this takes purity. Amen, you cannot be a Pentecostal preacher without purity. He said, "Be thou an example." And if I could say this, the greatest force of our messages is character. Amen. I remember being in a meeting years ago. Amen. A youth rally. And Brother George Davis. Y'all remember George Davis? He got up and stumbled up there. He was already having some physical problems. He stumbled up there and he barely quoted, "Amen, I've been young and I have been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread." And by the time he got through with that, everybody was on their feet worshiping God. Amen. Brother Bill Parks leaned over to me and he said, "You know, I could have got up there and said the same scripture. Amen. It would have got this response." You know why? Brother, he had the vision of it all. He had the understanding of it all. And if I could say this to you, sometimes there's no fire in the preaching, and it's not because of the style nor the personality, but there's no fire in the prayer life. There's no fire to back up, amen, a message that seems like it should be charged with the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, you can make a message, but your prayer life and your living makes a man. And the best thing to do is to make sure you make the man and then get up and deliver that. Because that in the name of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Ghost is more important and more powerful than any homiletic power that you might have in your brain. Oh, yes. He gave himself to the work of God. He gave himself to the Word of God. And I need to close here. He saved himself and those he preached to by preaching and giving himself to these things. Sometimes we do more for ourselves than our congregation when we preach on certain subjects. It solidifies your convictions. It may even show you the importance of it in your own life or the lacking of it in your own life. And so I say to you preachers and you evangelists, you missionaries, preach the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Work in the power of the Holy Ghost. Speak about the gifts of the Spirit. Encourage worship that is Pentecostal. Amen. And let the Spirit of God have His way. For there is power in the Pentecostal preacher, but it is a power that we must use or we will lose. Use it or lose it. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Amen. Although it was a gift from God, that man there was responsible for the stirring of it. Amen. You say, listen, amen, all of this stuff, it's got to be something from heaven. Yes, it is heavenly. And I'll tell you, you are responsible for it. In the Old Testament, you all have preached it. I know I'm not telling you anything new. God sent the fire on the altar, but it was the Levites and the priest's responsibility to keep it burning. It was fire from heaven, but it was wood they chopped. It was the daily grind of the work that they had done that kept it going. And my brothers and sisters, this fire came from heaven. Amen. And I know it fell at Pentecost, and you've got your own individual stories to tell. But oh, even though it's from heaven, it's your job to keep it stirred up. Stir up your worship. Stir up your prayer life. Stir up. Yeah, pray till you speak in tongues. Stir up the gift of healing. Stir up. Stir it up by preaching on it. Listen, I know, listen. I got to praying about healing. And I know I talked to Brother Gabbard and oh, glory, I probably told this before, but God told me to preach on healing. I said, Lord, would you please heal some people so I'd have some illustrations to tell in my preaching? And the Lord, this is when I was evangelizing. The Lord said, preach on healing until I heal people. That's part of stirring up the gift, friend. I was saving myself, and I was saving the people that was listening to me. Listen, the gift of healing needs to be saved in the holiness movement. It really does. How's it going to be saved? You're going to have to preach on it. You say, well, I haven't had any great miracles. Preach on it until he starts doing something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We've had a lot talked about the Word of God, but do you really believe this book is powerful? If you believe it's powerful, then preach it. Tell them what it says about healing. And so at Iron Post Free Holiness Church, I preached my first message on healing, and to my knowledge, nobody got healed. I preached, that was in August. I preached August, you know, and all those months up to February. Just about every revival, nobody got healed that I know of. But my wife got terribly sick. Got gallbladder problem, you know, gallstones. And every time I preach on healing, she'd be rolling in the bed. Amen. Pain. I'd preach on healing. We'd pray for people. Have prayer line. Hey, listen, the devil hates this book, and he hates a move of the Holy Ghost, and he knows when you're getting on his territory and you're about to have a victory too. Oh, glory to God. And so I preached on healing. Amen. All those months my wife got sick, and in February, Brother Billy Joe Watson here, I was at Billy Joe Watson's church when he was pastor in Cedar Creek. Amen. and I preached on healing, and there was a lady in his church that had a cracked vertebrae in her back, and we prayed for her, and God healed her of that. Hallelujah. And from that meeting on, I had somebody healed every week, or testify being healed every week. Hallelujah, for half a year. But my wife kept on getting sick. I was coming back from Colorado preaching a revival. I was listening to Brother Johnny Gabbard preach, and we was going down the road, and the Holy Ghost fell in my truck there. And my wife and I looked at each other, and she said, "I feel like God's going to heal me." Hallelujah. You know where we's heading? Iron Post Free Holiness Church. It either lacked 1 year, or it was a year and a week. It was either the exact week or just it's right there in the same. We's heading there. And one night, hey man, while Kevin Webster's mama was singing "Those Precious Bloodstains," my wife said the Lord spoke to her to go up there and get prayer, and God healed her instantly. Hallelujah. 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 Keep on preaching. Amen. Keep on preaching. Stir up the gift, I'm telling you. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray until you pray in the Holy Ghost, and then try to stay there. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know you need to pray with the understanding. Go ahead, pray with the understanding. But pray with the understanding, and then when you pray in the Holy Ghost, stay there. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, covet earnestly the best gifts. Worship spiritually. Stir yourself. Study the Bible. Preach the Word. Stir up the gift. Because we got to have power that's more than a match spiritually for our day. Pentecostal power is greater than the power of hell that's in our world. Oh, God, help me, Lord, to know what I need. Brother Dwayne Bond one time had befriended a man, and this man became violent one day. He went through Falk, started shooting out places, and a lady in my church was praying. She got in the spirit, and she called, and she said, "You know, I just heard that this man had got violent and Falk, and I felt like calling you." Amen. And when Dwayne had that to his ear, he said he just rolled up in my yard. He had a shotgun. Amen. And Brother Dwayne came out of the house, and the Holy Ghost fell on him, and he started speaking in tongues. Amen. And he had to, amen, get his hands off of the shotgun. And he said, "Oh, stop that. Oh, stop that. I can't stand that." Amen. You know, the power of the Holy Ghost overpowered the devil that was inside of that man. And I'll tell you, just a good old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost can, amen, take care of that evil uprising, amen, that's going on in your community or even in your church. You say the devil's working overtime. Yeah, well, let's stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost until the devil can't hardly stand what's going on. Amen. Can I tell you, Pentecostal power is greater than our need. Do you need comfort? He is the comforter. Do you need the wisdom of God? He gives a word of wisdom. Do you need knowledge beyond this world? Amen. He gives a word of wisdom and knowledge. You need some understanding? Amen. Let me tell you something. He'll give you discerning of the spirits. Are you perplexed? Are you overwhelmed? There's a miracle working power. Amen. That's right there within your grasp. Are you sick? Amen. There's a healer in the house. Are you weak? There's power from on high. Not the latest leadership book. Not the latest church growth technique. But power from on high. I'm about done here. And so About 2 o'clock this morning, I felt like the Lord spoke to me something I needed to say to y'all. And I'm about done. Ephesians 5, amen, has been said. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The Lord said, I have spoken to this congregation, and I have told them through Bill Prescott to seek the Holy Ghost as if it were the first time. And I call you tonight to seek the Holy Ghost with a desperation like it were the first time. Could we all stand? I need 10 preachers' sons to come up here right now. Come up here. 10 preachers' sons. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4 more. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You filled with the Holy Ghost? Glory to God. Amen. More, hey, listen, more can be coming up here. I want you boys to raise your hands. I want you to seek the Holy Ghost here tonight. I want you to seek the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. If there's other preacher boys that say, I want preacher sons that want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, come on right now. I need 10 preacher's daughters to step out and say, I want the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Come on. Hallelujah. I got a burden for preacher's children here tonight. Because Paul was writing to Timothy. And I think God's wanting to pass down this power of the Holy Ghost to the next generation. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Well, praise God. I asked for 10 to get more than 10. That's just like God, isn't it? Amen. You ask for this amount and God gives you more than you ask for. Amen. I want to ask, is there any preacher here said, I need a fresh touch of the power of the Holy Ghost in my ministry, in my life. Would you come up here right now and let's crowd around these young people. Let's let the power of God fill us up and overflow. Listen, you don't have to be up here. The Holy Ghost filled the house on the day of Pentecost. I believe He can fill this house tonight. And I believe from every corner in this house, we can have a mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. If every brother and sister would seek the Holy Ghost like it was the first time. Oh, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. So full of the Holy Ghost, you feel charged to win the lost. So full of the Holy Ghost that depression leaves. So full of the Holy Ghost that it overflows in the church when you go home.